Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you again for today. Again, take care of our firemen and all those that are involved in those fires, especially that up by Shaver. And then I pray that you will just carry this message, preach this message, accomplish the work you want through it, and may you be glorified, may your people be edified, and may we just praise you, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's message is Leave Your Water Pots Behind. Now, you might be saying, what are the water pots? We don't carry those. It's really a reflection of your life, to leave the things that were most important to you in your life behind. And we'll explain that as we go along, because some of you might already suspect that that's part of following Jesus, is leaving the most important things in our lives behind for the sake of sacrificing and following the Lord. You and I are grateful for our salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Amen. There you go. You guys are catching on. So we're grateful for our salvation. Amen.
Amen.
There you go. All right. All right. And the eternal life that God gives us. We have the hope. We're saved through faith in Christ. We have eternal life. We know that no matter what happens in our life, that we have the security of Jesus in our hearts. And we know that he has a purpose for our lives here. And we know that we have an eternal purpose with him forever. So praise God for that. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You and I are very familiar with that passage of scripture. God gave that gift to us, our salvation. We didn't earn it. We received it by faith in Christ. So we can have salvation. We can have eternal life because of what? Simply because of God's love for us. God loves you and I. We need to kind of bring that in perspective to remember that if you were the only person on the face of the earth, God, creator of heaven and earth, would have died for you in the flesh just like he did on the cross. God loves you so much that he would have died for you specifically if you were the only person on earth, but he did die specifically for you and I because we were the hope that he had set before him. He knew who would receive him as their personal Lord and Savior. So we thank the Lord, we praise God for that. So we have eternal life freely because God loves us, but we know that receiving Christ and living for Christ, either one of those come at a cost. Christ gave himself up for us. God gave himself up for us in the flesh on the cross. Jesus said, no greater love is there than this, and a man lay down his life for another. No greater price was paid for our forgiveness and for our salvation than the shed blood of Christ on Calvary. But the reciprocation of that in our life is that we are willing to give up those things that we consider that enhance our lives for our own benefit. What I mean by that is that instead of taking our lives to be our own, scripture says that if we hold on to our life with our own hands, if we hold on to the reins of our life ourselves, and we control our life by our own desire and destiny, that type of thing, scripture says we will lose our life. That means we're going to lose the life that God intended for us to have if we keep control and we do what we think we ought to do. But if we let go of the reins and let God have the reins, then we'll discover the life that God created for us. And in following Jesus, there is sacrifice. And so it's not an easy task. And it is a costly task because it requires sacrifice, and sacrifice hurts. That's the bottom line. It hurts to sacrifice, but when we sacrifice as God calls us to, in whatever capacity that he requires of us, there's always a blessing when we sacrifice with a genuine, joyful heart for God. And so, it's not cheap, right? It's not cheap to follow Jesus. It requires constant sacrifice as we live for him. So we have to make some choices for our new life in Christ. And there's the comparison. We have those that all of us as believers, we receive Christ as our Savior, but then we have so many that have received Christ as their Savior, but aren't willing to pay the cost, the reciprocal cost of following Christ, right? I'm happy I'm saved. I know where I'm going when I die. I know Jesus is in my heart. But am I willing to pay the sacrificial cost that that God requires of me and you to follow him? That's the question, because it is painful. It is costly. It is a sacrifice. We must decide if we are all in or not. You got to decide. Are you all in for God? Are you jumping in both feet into living for Jesus Christ? There really is a decision in our life to where we say, you know what, Jesus is the most important thing to me. My relationship with Jesus, I want nothing to interfere with that relationship. I want to be also in the perfect will of God. I want to run the course by faith. I want to run the course that God has for me from beginning to end, faithfully, that I might hear those good words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, in whom I am well pleased." Not every believer is going to hear that. And we have to make a decision whether we want to hear that. And if we make a decision that we want to hear that from the Lord, then that requires us of not living for ourselves, but living for Christ, which requires sacrifice, and that's painful. But that's part of the Christian walk. Let's read some words from Jesus' own lips in Matthew 10, 27 and 28. "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." I like that first part in verse 27, "whatever I tell you in the dark." Now, you and I know that sometimes, maybe you haven't experienced it, but I'm assuming you have, where sometimes in the middle of the night, you'll wake up and God is just talking to you. Something's on your mind that's clear, that God has made clear or relevant to you, that he's revealed to you. That's because at night, all of the distractions are at bay. They're not there. And so then we have that more attention on what God is speaking to us. But also, night can refer to difficult times like we're facing now. We can be facing, and we are facing, very difficult times. But how we handle the times or the situation in each of our lives by faith in Christ requires that sacrifice to be committed to following him and the path he has us to follow. That's the type of darkness too. It's a dark time, but I will choose to be all in and faithful to Jesus through the dark times, through the good times, the bad times, the wonderful times, and so forth. And so I want to read a couple more words that come from Luke chapter 4. You can read the entire chapter of Luke and find a basic principle, which we're noting here in just a moment. But in Luke 14, 26 through 27, it says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." I would venture to say that in Luke 14, 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, that's a strong word. To hate something is to have such disdain with it that you wish it wasn't there. Wow. So if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, if you and I were to hate our own selves, we might say on a mental status, that's not healthy. But if we were to take it in context of what Jesus is saying, he's saying, I will not love myself first before loving God. I will put myself and my desires, my objectives aside for the sake of living for Christ. I will let go of things if God requires me of such for the sake of following God. In a sense, that's a type of hate. And here we have in verse 27 a verse that's not very popular, because we don't understand what it means to hate our father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even our own life. And then in verse 27, whoever does not bear his cross. To bear a cross is not an easy task. It's not when we used to have Good Friday services in Klinga, and different people would take the cross and would carry it For one thing, the bottom of the cross had a wheel on it as we wheeled across the street, so it wouldn't drag. For another thing, we're not talking about just the physical cross. We're talking about the pain of life in following Jesus. When we follow Jesus, we can expect suffering. But if we have a constant principle that says, no matter what I'm going through, Lord, you are there, you're my Savior, you're my Father, you're in my heart, and you'll never leave me nor forsake me, you're always working good in my life, even if I don't agree or don't understand, and I love you more than anything and anyone, and I don't want anything to interfere with my relationship with you. And so when we have that decision, we have decided to jump in with both feet. We have decided to put ourselves all in as we should. And so Jesus is saying to us this: be serious about following Jesus. Be serious about following him. In Matthew 10, we're commanded to listen to Jesus and repeat what he tells us to the world. Repeat what he tells us to the world. It talks about the fact that, as we read, it talks about the fact that we are to be very public. Evidence of that was that he said we are to be on top of our housetops, our roofs, proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the truth of God's word. You know, if I ask you to take part in watching Waymaker, like I said before, it's not because of the accolade. It's not because of the acknowledgement. It's because I want you to take part in being actively involved and sharing the word of God. This is a way that you can do it and encourage others maybe to come to know Christ or to be that much more steadfast in following the Lord. But there was a time that, and I'm not going to repeat the story because you've heard it before, that somebody in our sanctuary wanted to stand on the roof on Christmas Eve after ziplining across the street to the steeple in a angel outfit on Christmas Eve night with a spotlight on him to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Behold, the Son of God has been born. And when asked if he could do that, they told me no. Very quickly. But I still want to. So anyways, we have an opportunity to, you know, God's saying, this is the emphasis. The emphasis is that I want you to have such an urgency and a commitment that you're not afraid to reveal the things I reveal to you, maybe in the middle of the night, maybe in your darkest times of your life, because those are when we really hear the depth of God and his counsel to us. However and whatever we have learned from or have heard from Jesus, that we are called to share. The first is our salvation experience, how to be saved. The second is how to tell people what Jesus means to us in our life in a real life, living, practical manner. I relied on Jesus through this, or Jesus is always there, or Jesus puts a song on my heart, or Jesus out of the blue will bring a thought to my mind. Whatever. We share our relationship means that we share the specific actions and activity of our interaction with Jesus with others. Does that make sense? We share what we've experienced with Jesus, not the highlights necessarily, not the major events necessarily, but how about just the everyday walk with Jesus? What does that mean? We're to share that with others. And so when Jesus said we are to be very public, so much public that he says, get on the rooftops, the housetops, and proclaim it. He's calling us not to hide our faith. See, that's the sacrifice. That's some of the price. That's some of the pain. Because we can have some arenas that are very comfortable in sharing our faith, sharing our commitment to Jesus. But we can be in other arenas where we know the minute we open our mouth about Jesus, it's not going to be comfortable. But God calls us to be bold. And we need to pray that God will give us the boldness that we need in him. Again, in Matthew 10, we're commanded to listen to Jesus and repeat what he tells us to the world. Whatever God reveals of himself to us through study, through prayer, through life experiences, through life, through daily walk with Jesus, we are called to repeat what we know about Jesus to others with boldness and confidence. Excuse me. He tells us that we're not to be afraid of those that can harm us. That's an uncomfortable situation. If I'm going to proclaim Christ and I know that we're going to get retaliation from it, maybe even physical retaliation, that's difficult. But instead, he reminds us that it's important for people to be more afraid of God because God can destroy the body and soul. Now, he's not talking about us losing our salvation. He's not talking about us being threatened that we're going to lose our life in Christ. He's simply saying that which is more important, that we let people know that what's most important is that you're saved, that your soul is saved. And for us to be bold in Christ is to remember that so if they kill your body, what's that going to do? We're still going to go before the Lord. We're going to live forever with him. We still have the marvelous promise of a new and everlasting body like Jesus has forever. And so we're not to be afraid to be bold in Jesus. And that's something I think that, in all honesty, I think the church has allowed themselves to become far less bold than what they should be. I think the church in itself has stopped being as bright of a light that God has called them to be. Because we've somehow convinced ourselves that because we have a relationship with Jesus that we're shining bright enough. But we forget that the collectiveness of believers in Christ together make the light shine brighter as we stand on mission in Christ. Jesus is reminding us that his power, authority, and judgment is greater than the world's. That's a perspective. What God says, what Jesus says, is far more important for us to adhere to than what the world says. Amen? Amen? You guys got to help me here. Feed it back to me, because our feet on that. But God is glorified, right? Don't be afraid to say amen. So, as we read in Luke 14, verses 26 through 27, Jesus gets even more serious with us. Jesus expects us to hate our own families and our own life and take up our cross and follow him. The world doesn't understand that. Many Christians don't understand that. But God is simply saying, I want you to love me far more that if it was to be evaluated, it would be reflected as if you hated your loved ones, even yourself. That's how much we are to love Jesus. Those are tough words to swallow. But remember, as your pastor, I didn't say it. Jesus said it to all of us. He said it for a reason, because he wants us to be bold. He wants us to live for him, and he doesn't want us to live for anyone else, and he doesn't want us to live for ourselves. We're basically being called to be martyrs for Christ. We're basically called to pick up our cross that doesn't have a wheel on it. It's living the painful life in situations that God allows us to go through with a faith and a confidence in him that reveals who he is and his love and gives us boldness, and we gain victory through those trying times. In Acts 1:8, while laying down your life for Jesus becomes a witness like a martyr for a watching world. And so martyr is one who dies for something. And if we die to ourselves and die to the priorities that we set before us and put Christ as our top priority, then we become a spiritual martyr, maybe even a physical martyr, in which the world is watching. In Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. How do we translate that into our own terms? What is Jerusalem? How is that represented in our lives? Which city represents Jerusalem in our lives? Huh? Kalinga. All right. And then what about Judea? What's Judea represent?
Europe?
No. Good trying. Thank you, but no. California, thank you over there, sir. And then, of course, we are to go out into the world, to the end of the earth. So we're to be bold right here in Kalinga. We're to be bold in California. We're to be bold throughout the Samaria, which is, I missed that one, Samaria being the United States, and to the end of the world. God calls us to be bold for him, but that takes sacrifice because we set ourselves up for injury, verbally or otherwise, spiritually or otherwise. But if we're living for him and not for ourselves, then that will give us courage to do so. He will give us courage to do so. So the Holy Spirit is given to us when we receive Christ as Savior. So we will go out and be witnesses or martyrs or witnesses for Christ. When we come to Christ, we're changed. When we receive Christ, we become a new creation. It's a weird dynamic. You would think that if we become a new creation at the instant we receive Christ, that we would instantly see the new creation that we are in Christ. Make sense? Okay? If I put popcorn in the old-fashioned pot with oil to pop it, I'm going to make you a new creation in a minute. It's going to look completely different instantaneously, and we're going to know, right? But that's not how it works in our walk, that we are made a new creature in Christ to discover through walking with him and loving him. Let me give you an example about this. First of all, that, you know, when we come to Christ, of course, we're changed, like I said, and we're called to be completely committed to him, and that we should automatically be witnessing. You know, Juan Jr., I call him Juan Jr. because that's Big Juan back there. And then Juan Jr., who's not related, I call him Juan Jr. or Little Juan, you know. But that's okay. But, you know, as a new believer in Christ, he is excited about sharing Jesus. Witnessing to Muslims, friends that he comes in contact with, witnessing to people all over the place. And that's part of the revealing of the new creation that God has made him. Because outside of being a Christian, that's not going to happen. In John 4:28 and 30, or through 30, it says, the woman then left her water pot. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the woman of Samaria. Samaritans were hated by the Jews, and Jews were hated by the Samaritans, and Samaritans were a mixed breed, Jews and Gentiles together. But Jesus was in Samaria, and he met up with a Samaritan woman, and a woman on top of it, not just Samaritan, but a woman who wasn't even counted very important. And so the woman then left her water pot because she was at the well and had a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus helped her to realize that he's the living water. In other words, she became a believer in Christ, became saved. And immediately upon her salvation, she did something. She left her water pot. What did I say the water pots represented? The priorities in our life. It might be our agenda, it might be our goals, it might be our family, it might be our spouse, or whatever. She left everything. And immediately, she went her way into the city and said to the man, come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. That's how it's supposed to work. You see, she was a woman that was not known for honor. She was a woman that had been married several times, and the man that she was living with was just simply that, a man she was living with she wasn't married to. So she had a bad reputation. And in that, she didn't care. She put away her image that had been imprinted on her community of who she was, said, I don't care about what they think about me anymore. What I care about is what God thinks about me, and I'm excited that God loves me, even though he knew everything about me. And he went right immediately into the city and said, there's a man out there who told me everything I did. Come and see him. And she brought the city to Jesus. Scripture doesn't tell us what happened when they all met with Jesus, but I bet you and I can guess. Jesus preached. Jesus shared truth, and people put their faith in him. The Samaritan woman was living, obviously, that very worldly life. And then John chapter 4 reveals to us that she met Jesus and then gave it all up. She left her water pots, her valuable possessions that was very valuable to her. She left her pride and her ways to reveal the truth of Jesus to others. She immediately went out and witnessed in the town. You and I are called to witness. Called to witness. When we did the Waymaker recording at the fire station, God opened up the door to witness to those firemen, to share the gospel. One of them made it clear that they were a true believer in Jesus Christ. The others didn't respond, which tells me most likely they weren't Christians. But the seed was planted. And so we have an opportunity God will give to us, but you know what? It never fails that every opportunity God gives to us, there's that spiritual warfare of intimidation and a little fear. And yet God says, be bold in me. God says, just be bold in me and stand for me and share the truth of who I am. And that's what God has called us to do. So as a result of her experience with Jesus and dying to herself, the town came to meet Jesus. And this unrespected woman found something more valuable than her water pot, men, and her lifestyle. She found Jesus. And she allowed herself to be filled up, to be filled up with the living water that Jesus offered her. You and I have an opportunity to be filled up. In other words, we have the Holy Spirit in our life, but we need to renew our faith and our commitment and keep close to Jesus on a daily basis. And we don't need a lot of fancy preachers. We don't need better programs or bigger buildings or better music or better prayer meetings. What do we need? We need Jesus, but we also need, what's the reciprocation of that? We need to be bold for Jesus, right? We can have all the churches, preachers, Bible studies, programs, and that's all set up out there. But if God's people are not bold and responsive to what God teaches them, what value is that? None. We become puffed up and arrogant in our own knowledge without action. That's not wise. That's foolish. God's called us to be bold for Jesus. And so... out of the excitement of this woman that met Jesus, she overflowed to her community, and she was changed, and she was committed, and she took up her cross and gave up her life to follow Jesus. What do you suppose the cross was that she picked up? Do you suppose it might be her character and her shame for who she's known to be, but not afraid to say, I know who I am, but I want to share with you who he is? That was not easy. That was part of her cross. And so people like the Samaritan woman with a changed heart who are recognized witness for the Lord. And so we need more of us taking Jesus' own words more seriously. We need to be taking up our cross, even though it's painful. We need to be giving up our lives and becoming martyrs and witnesses in this world. More of us need to be filled up with the living water like her. And leave our water pots behind to be martyrs or witnesses in our community by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's bring the community to Jesus. You know, Tim's been involved in in Amber, and several have been involved in a ministry to our community with a objective that through connecting with people, the gospel can be shared. Amen? It's another avenue. And so we should always be looking for opportunity to connect with people to share the gospel, just like the Samaritan woman did. It's all Stan. And then let's turn to page 641. Which is in the back of this, obviously, 641. And we're looking at responsive reading number 68. Some of you have never done this before, so just to remind you, while we're on page 641 in our hymnal, number 68, Stand Unashamed. I'm going to read the light print, and you're going to read, or all of us together will read, the dark. 641. Well, why don't you give your book to her, and then you can look it up real quick. You got it? Okay. Thank you. So I'll read the first part, and then all of us will read the dark print. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, all of us. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation.
Everyone,
therefore, who shall confess
me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven.
Great. And he summoned the multitude with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel shall save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. May God bless his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you just bless each one of us with greater boldness, confidence, and focus as we are your people in not only a world of darkness, but a time in the world where people are many people don't have hope, who are desperate, who are facing disparity and all terrible negative things in their lives. But I pray that you help us to share the love, the truth, the hope, and the faith of Jesus Christ, your Son, to those that need to know you. And I pray that you help every Christian believer to be that much more bold and determined to stand for you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you're